Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Get your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. You might remember that when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God would walk with them in the cool of the day. But because of sin, there became a great distance between God and man, and God had to reintroduce Himself to man. And He did that progressively. In Genesis chapter 17, it says, "When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly." So that's a strong, powerful God to whom we're accountable. But there's more to God than that. Look at the book of Exodus, chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it says, "God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known unto them." And in the context here of Jehovah is a God that is faithful. Because He's talking about how I'm going to keep those promises that I made unto your fathers. And so a strong and powerful God, but also a faithful God. But there's much more to God than that. Look with me now in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The Almighty God, the faithful God, and now a God of tender, loving care. We read about it in the book of Romans in our text. We're the sons of God. And we can go to God and call Him Abba, Father. That word Abba is an Aramaic name for God, but it's a very familiar term. It might be like the term Daddy, but I think Daddy's probably lighter than that. There's a lot of reverence and awe still associated with that term Abba that may carry more with us than the word Daddy means. But it does also carry with it that affection and that closeness and that personal touch and love that we have toward our Father. So when God reveals Himself to us as our Father in heaven, it shows us something about God. But now I want to flip the coin and ask us to look at this a little different. What does it say about fathers? What does that teach us fathers ought to be? A father is a man that exhibits to his children the image of God. You might remember when you was just a little fella and your father. Was there ever a man like that man of your father? How you looked up and admired him? Now for better or worse, we fathers teach our children something about God. We need to paint them the correct portrait of God in the manner in which we conduct ourselves as fathers. And we need to show them what it means, the concept of authority and of faithfulness and of tender, loving care. Now, there's many fathers in the Bible, and I want to go through sort of a hall of fame of fathers. All of these aren't good fathers. Most of these are fathers that are like us, dads. There were some real good things about them, but they weren't perfect fathers, and there were some problems too. Let's begin with Adam. He was the first father of Cain, and Abel, and Seth, and many sons and daughters. Adam lived to be 930 years old. And you just think, what an amazement it must have been for Adam to see his children and his grandchildren and the many generations that followed after that. And yet, with all that wonder, How would Adam must have felt seeing then all the wickedness that they were involved in, and the misery that they were bringing upon themselves because of that, and realized that he had a big hand in bringing sin into the world. Think about Noah. That father was a preacher. He had preacher's kids. A preacher of righteousness. And he was just and perfect and walked with God and raised his children in the midst of an evil world. In all those years of preaching, Noah didn't have any converts except his wife and his sons' wives. He obeyed God. God was gracious unto them. So he built an ark to the saving of his house. And I know those of us that care about God and about what He teaches us and about the Great Commission know we need to be involved in preaching the gospel into all the world. But our first responsibility is to teach our children. Look at Job. Perfect, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And he was interested in the spiritual welfare of his children. They would gather together and have a feast. As his sons and daughters were gathered together, he would go out and offer a sacrifice for them, lest they had sinned against God, cursing him in their hearts. Worst day of his life was when the day that he heard that all of his children had been killed. Abraham. Abraham was not a perfect father. But he is called the father of the faithful. And one of the greatest compliments ever paid to any father has to be to Abraham. Look in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. God said about Abraham, said, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Isaac was one of his children. Another father that was not perfect, though there's some good things you can say about Isaac. Isaac was the father of twins, not identical twins. Hardly any boy is ever different than Jacob and Esau. Isaac made a big mistake. He showed favorites. It created resentment and enmity and anger and hatred between his sons. Jacob was one of his sons. 12 sons and one daughter. Old Jacob made the mistake his father made and showed favorites. And again, it created resentment and anger and hurt and sorrow. You ever think you have a lot of trouble out of your children? Just look at Jacob and his boys and his daughter, always in one more trouble after another. And yet, he always remained a loving father to them. When he died, as he was approaching death, they all gathered around his bed. He was leaning on that bedstead, telling them God's plans for them. Eli and Samuel, two of the most outstanding men in the Bible, particularly Samuel. What a wonderful man Samuel was, and servant of God. Both of them were failures as fathers. They had wicked sons, and they did not discipline them. Fathers, let that be a warning to us. We want to be involved in good things, don't we? And be involved in things of this world and even the very best of things. And even in the service of God, we've got to be careful that we don't get too involved, even in a good thing, that we fail our children, fail to discipline them. Poor David. If ever there was a father that paid dearly for his sin and saw its consequences in his family, it was David. He saw another man's wife and lusted after her. and took her. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. The Lord says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun." And the little child that Bathsheba bore unto David was sick and died. And then Ammon, his son, forced Tamar, his daughter. And then Absalom, his son, killed Ammon, his son. And then Absalom rebelled against his dad. He had to flee for his life. And the land broke out into a civil war. And when it was over, Absalom was dead. David cried, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Would to God that I had died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Father Jeroboam, the father. 1 Kings chapter 15, 25 and 26. Fathers, we got to be careful. Our boys will grow up sometime and be just like us. "And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin." Now that's not all bad. There's some good news. Your sons will watch you, and they'll pick up some good things too. 1 Kings 22 and verse 41, it says, "Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of King Ahab of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord." How do your children learn what's right and wrong? Well, they're going to learn a lot from their fathers. Let's look at Mordecai. Mordecai was a father to his niece. This must have been a lot like adoption. You know, sometimes fatherhood is thrust upon us. We don't ask for it. We just get it. Family needs us, and we're going to be the father to our kin. We're going to take care of that, extended families, and we become sort of an adopted father, and that's much like what this was. Adopted his niece. Raised up Esther. It says in Esther 2 and verse 20, Mordecai tell Esther, the queen, what she needs to do, and she would listen to the voice of Mordecai like she did in the days when she was brought up with him. Zacharias. Now that's the father of John the Baptist. He became a father in his old age. Zacharias was a father that knew that his desires for his son was secondary to God's desires for his son. What will they name the boy? And they didn't want to name him John. Why, Zacharias, no one in your family's named John. Remember, he couldn't speak. And no one's named John. They wanted to name him something else. But the angel told him his name will be John. And so he wrote down, "His name is John." That's what the Lord wanted his boy named. And he put the Lord first when it came to his children. Certainly one of the great fathers of the Bible, and probably one of those fathers that pretty much of an unsung hero as a father oftentimes would be Joseph. Why, he was selected to be the father of the Lord. Not physically. Mary was found to be with child. After the Lord explained what this was about, he took Jesus in just like his own son. It's another adoption. Joseph and Mary are identified as the parents of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, it said Jesus was subject to his parents. Talking about Joseph and Mary. Joseph is just. He's merciful. He's hardworking. He's a carpenter. He's self-sacrificing. Protected his family from the wrath of the king and carried them into Egypt. He's religious. He takes Jesus to the temple at the age of 12. That's the last we read of him. We suppose, and it's probably very likely supposition, he's the one that taught Jesus to be a carpenter. Also suppose that perhaps he died before Jesus entered into his public ministry. Never knew what all that boy of his was going to accomplish. Not understanding fully anyway, knew there was something there. We never read about Joseph in those times, so that's why we make that supposition. We read that Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend. Wonder how Jesus and Mary must have wept at the tomb of Joseph. Jesus told a story about a father. Father of a prodigal son. He received his inheritance and went out and wasted all his substance on riotous living. And then remembered his father. Wanted to return. He was fearful. As he approached his home, his father was looking down the road and ran to meet him and embrace him and welcome him home. Jesus told that story. He wanted us to know that that's how our Heavenly Father is toward us. Look at the story of another father in the New Testament. You might not have thought about this. Peter. Do you know Peter was a father? Well, we knew he's a fisherman. We knew he's an apostle. But in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, it says Peter was an elder. Now, it doesn't directly say he's a father, but Paul told us what elders are supposed to be. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, elders are to rule their own houses well, having their children in subjection with all gravity. And then it talks about in Titus chapter 1, verse 6, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. So part of Peter's life that is not told much to us about except by inference is the fact that he was a father. Now, church is the fullness of Christ. And that precious church of Christ, he entrusts into the hands of elders. Now, those who he wants to serve as elders, he's looking around and says, I want fathers that have proven themselves with their families. So that's what value that God places on fathers. God has a plan for fathers. First, you need to be married. Now, I know there's other ways. There's some legitimate ways, like Mordecai. You can become a father in a legitimate way. But the general plan is you're married and you're faithful to your wife and you're responsible for your home and you lead them and you protect them and you provide for them and you train them up. And you be an example to them. And that returns us to where we begin. Jesus taught us to look upon God as our Father in heaven. So to your little ones, well, there's a period of time in their life when you're like a God to them. And they'll grow up and they'll find out you're not that good. But for all their lives, part of what they see in the portrait of God will be in part the face of their Father. Because He's to teach them what that's like. And so fathers, let's be strong, let's be faithful, and let's have that tender, loving care. Here's a little poem by Edgar Guest. Only a dad with a tired face, coming home from the daily race, bringing little of gold or fame to show how well he played the game, but glad in his heart that his own rejoiced to see him come and hear his voice. Only a dad with a brood of four, one of 10 billion men or more, plodding along in the daily strife, bearing the whips and scorns of life, never a whimper of pain or hate for the sake of those who at home await. Only a dad, neither rich nor proud, merely one of a surging crowd, toiling, striving from day to day, facing whatever may come his way, silent whenever the harsh condemn, and bearing it all for the love of them. Only a dad, but he gives his all to smooth his way for his children small, doing with courage stern and grim the deeds that his father did for him. This is the line I penned for him. Only a dad, but the best of men. The last verse of the Old Testament, talking about the work of John the Baptist, he will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and the hearts of the children back to their fathers. Well, let's thank God for our fathers. They're not perfect, so let's forgive them and thank God for them. And fathers, let's live up to be that kind of father that our children will understand their Heavenly Father.